Hebrews 11 is where we find ourselves this morning. Please turn to Hebrews 11, and we are continuing this Hall of Faith chapter as we're looking through many different people and the lens of their faith. And today we're going to be primarily looking at the faith of Moses. So Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 29, this is God's holy and inspired word. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. We're going to see three things this morning in these verses. The faith of parents, the faith of a son, and the faith of a people. So before we look at the faith of Moses, which is our primary topic of this morning, we want to look at the faith of his parents. And before Moses even could exercise faith himself, his father and mother were models of faith to him. You may not know the names of Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. Say that twice, Amram and Jochebed. I'll ask you later and quiz you if you remember that. But these are the parents of Moses. We know very little about them. But these parents, what we know from this text is that they had a tremendous amount of faith, a faith in the Lord. And they weren't worried about the faith of men or the edict of men, but instead they were overcome by their fear of the Lord and their faith of the Lord. And we can see that in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. If you go back to Exodus chapter 1 and 2, you'll see the context of what's going on here. We know that after Joseph died at the end of Genesis, several years had passed and a new king came in town in Egypt. He knew very little about Joseph, if anything at all, and he did not like God's people. He did not worship our God Almighty. And in fact, people would worship Pharaoh as God, and he would see God Almighty as a threat. So anything that would be a threat to him, he would want eliminated. And he made the Hebrew people, the God's people, he made them work harder. And he made them slaves to his workers and to his officials. And the yoke on them was heavy. It was a heavy burden that was imposed on the people. And then the king of Pharaoh, he told these Hebrew midwives who helped the God's people, the women who were giving birth, these midwives were there to help them in labor and delivery. And he told these Hebrew midwives, this Pharaoh, he said, any baby boy that is born, I want you to kill. And it's fascinating when you go back to Exodus 1 and 2, because there's a little bit of humor here, where the Hebrew midwives, they end up going to the Pharaoh, and they said, Pharaoh, these women are so much stronger than we are, that they have these baby boys before we can even get there. And they were somehow able to convince Pharaoh that they're not going to kill these boys because these boys have already been born. But this enraged Pharaoh because these Hebrew midwives, they had faith in God and they weren't afraid of Pharaoh because they were more afraid of the Lord. So that's why they stood up to these baby boys and spared these baby boys. And Pharaoh got enraged, and what did he do? He made the entire country of Egypt, per se, the nation of Egypt, he said, there's an edict out there that all baby boys that are born in the Hebrew line, God's people, they are to be thrown in the Nile River. So when this message got out, Moses' parents, when they had Moses, he was 3 months old, they look at this beautiful baby boy and they say, we aren't afraid of Pharaoh, we're more afraid of God Almighty. We want this boy to be spared. And so they hid him for 3 months. Now, it's fascinating here if you look at the text because it describes how Moses was a beautiful baby. As I thought about this, I thought to myself, well, every parent would say that, you know. They would all say, hey, look at my beautiful baby, and my baby's the best. Right? Every parent thinks their baby's the best. And so what does this mean exactly? It doesn't mean that Moses was just simply a cute baby. There's another translation that describes him as a fine child. But what I believe this means is that Moses' parents knew that this baby boy was special. And of course, we all think our baby boys and girls are special, but they really thought this baby boy had a special purpose, that God set him apart. Therefore, they wanted to go above and beyond to make sure he was protected. This shows a tremendous amount of faith and how they stood against a tyrant king, and instead they overcame this fear with faith. And it was Michael Kruger who wrote this about Moses and faith. He said, "Faith empowers us to put away our fears and do what is right. It empowers us to put away our fears and do what is right." Moses' parents, they were able to put away their fears by this threat from Pharaoh and did what was right by hiding their son, and they kept him safe. Again, before Moses could exercise his faith, his parents were models of faith to him. And as I think about this example of how they hid their son in faith, it made me think about how we as parents model our faith to our children. They are always watching us, whether we think they're watching or not. And it's sobering. I mean, I could spend the rest of this day telling you what not to do. In fact, my kids could probably tell you what they have seen me do. You know, and they repeat some of the things, like some of the habits I have. And it's like, quit biting your nails, kids, or quit messing with your hair. Well, I learned that from you, Dad. Oh, okay, you know. Or why did you say that? Well, I heard you say that one time, Dad. Oh, okay. We've all been there, but the reality is our kids are watching every move we make, every word that we say. So it is very sobering and humbling. But as I think about this example, we know as you go into Exodus 1 and 2 that when they hid Moses, they ended up putting him in the river, and they ended up he ended up being found by Pharaoh's daughter. She takes him in, sees his cute baby boy, and says, I want to help him. And it goes to show that God had a plan here, because one of Moses' relatives, she ends up going to the princess of Egypt and saying and convincing her, hey, I've got somebody who can help raise this child if you need help. They can help nurse the baby. They can help raise the baby. So the princess of Egypt said, sure, let's get her. And it happened to Moses' mother, Jochebed. It was Moses' mother who came and helped wean this baby boy. She nursed the baby boy. She raised him. We don't know how many years she raised the boy, but we know it was several years of his childhood until he was then given up to adoption to this princess of Egypt. But I tell you this because Moses had several years as he was growing up as a little boy, watching his parents, learning from them, observing them, seeing how their faith played out. In the same way, our kids are watching you and me. They're watching you and me, just as Moses was watching his parents at a very young age. And so let that sober you a little bit. Let that sober you. I've said this before, but I love country music. And Rodney Atkins, his song, I've Been Watching You, one of my favorite songs. I have Caleb listen to it all the time. We joke about it. But in the song, he is in the truck with his son in the back seat, and he's at a red light, and it turns green. And he says a few choice words under his breath. And later that afternoon when they get home, his son says those few choice words. And he goes to his son and he says, where did you learn how to say a word like that? And he said, I've been watching you, Dad. I learned it from you. And then later that evening, he said his son was with his Scooby-Doo nightlight and his pajama pants praying to the Lord before he went to bed, his night prayers. And his dad overheard him and said, where'd you learn to pray to God like that? And he said, I learned it from you, Dad. So our kids, they learn the good things from us and the bad things from us. But they're watching us. They're watching us. And so again, Moses was watching his parents, and he saw that they had faith in the face of a tyrant leader. And they didn't let this leader cause them to panic, but instead they went after what God had called them to do. So now we see a shift. Next, we'll see a shift from the faith of parents to the faith of a son. This is where we get into Moses, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. As Moses grew older, he was again adopted by the princess of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter. So he began to learn the language of Egypt. He began to be educated in the Egyptian way. He had all kinds of money that you would get because, again, he's raised up in Pharaoh's home, essentially. He had all kinds of power. But as he got older, he realized he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He belonged to the Lord, not to Pharaoh. And so there came a point where he had to either choose his master or the Lord. And he said, I'm going to choose the Lord. And I'm going to associate with God's people instead of being an Egyptian. He could have easily gone the easy route and said, I'm going to be an Egyptian for the rest of my life. I'm going to have all this money. I'm going to have all this power and prestige. I'm going to have everything I need. But instead, he humbled himself and he suffered with the people of God. Notice I said here, suffered with the people. He was mistreated with the people. It was Charles Spurgeon who said this about Moses, affliction nobody would choose, but affliction with the people of God, that is another business altogether. He went on to say here, affliction with the people of God is affliction and glorious company. With the people of God, that is sweet, which kills the bitter of affliction. What he's saying here is it's much better to suffer with people than to suffer alone. And Moses is saying, I'm going to choose to suffer with God's people as opposed to being with the Egyptians and having all of my needs met. You know, again, at least he didn't suffer alone. He did it with other people. And he chose the hard road. And as I thought about why he chose the hard road, there's really two reasons that this chapter gives us as to why. Why would Moses forfeit all of the temporary worldly pleasures to become a slave, essentially, and to be associated with the people of God? Well, there's two reasons that we see in Hebrews 11 why. The first, that he considered worldly things as nothing compared to eternal things. Verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You know, what Jesus offers is always better than what the world offers. And even though the world may offer these temporary blessings that seem shiny and they seem tempting, at the end of the day, Jesus and following him is always better. Following Jesus, it requires sacrifice. It requires commitment. It really means to die before self. Matthew 10, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He's saying, if you want to follow me, this is Jesus, our King. Our King is saying, if you want to follow me, you've got to die to self, you've got to take up a cross, and you've got to follow me. In other words, he's saying, be ready to suffer for my name's sake. Moses was ready to suffer for the Lord. Why? Because he had such a strong faith in the Lord. And he didn't really get caught up into the glitz and glamour of society, but instead he said, no, I'm getting caught up with the Lord. And I'm going to associate with the people of God. As they suffer, I too will suffer. So why did he choose the hard path? Well, he chose it because he considered worldly things as nothing compared to eternal things. But the second reason we see here is that he feared the one who is invisible more than the one who is visible. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses is older at this point. He's leaving his home, and he's going to be with God's people. This enraged Pharaoh, because after all, they helped raise Moses. They gave him everything he needed. They gave him the clothes on his back. They gave him food. They gave him wealth. They gave him a great education, and now Moses is saying, I'm leaving. You know, it was a slap in the face to Pharaoh, and it enraged him. He got angry. But it says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, and he endured the persecution from Pharaoh and the mocking from Pharaoh. He endured all that because he saw and believed in the one who is invisible. We know about the burning bush, but we also know that Moses did not see God in the sense of God is invisible, right? We know that he's invisible. And because Moses believed in the one who is invisible more than the one who is visible, he was able to choose the hard path. When you think about it, we all as believers, we believe in an invisible God. And that's what makes our faith so strong. You think about David when he faced Goliath, an invisible God. He knew that God would help him defeat the giant. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego They believed in this invisible God too. And when they went against the decree of the king and they were thrown into a fiery furnace, and they didn't care because they believed more in an invisible God. You think about Daniel, he was thrown into a den of lions to be chewed up and spit out, but he didn't care because he believed in an invisible God. We see example after example after example throughout the Bible and through church history of people who believe in this invisible God, and as a result, their faith helps them overcome such hard things. I think about John Knox. He's the founder of Presbyterianism in Scotland. There was a time where he boldly confronted the Roman Catholic queen who just despised Protestants and wanted to kill them. And when he was asked, "How are you so bold to go against this queen who is just malicious?" he said these words, "One does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings." One does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings. You see, he believed in this immortal, invisible God. And as a result, he was able to endure this queen and her persecution. This is faith, my friends. And Moses had the same faith. He had the same faith. And even as time went on and the plagues took place, we get to one of the final plagues where we see here that verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover. He sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. What's this talking about? It's saying here that Moses, he had a healthy fear of God that drove out the fear of another person. And as a result, he was told by God to slaughter a bull or a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And when the angel would come over the door in the house, the baby boy would be spared if there was blood that was shed. But for those that did not put blood over the doorpost, this destroyer would come and wipe out all of the children. And we know that God's people were spared once again that day. Their baby boys were spared again that day because of the faith of Moses and the faith of the people. At the end of the day, Moses feared God more than he feared man. If God is for us, who can be against us? We read earlier in our call to confession, Psalm 118, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." As I think about this, I think about this example of Moses. It made me think about an example I wanted to share with you. I thought about it this morning, and I thought, I need to share this. So a couple weeks ago, I went and visited one of our members who's really suffering. And they told me that they recently heard a sermon that gave this example that I'm going to give you. Many of you know about Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, she was a believer in the Lord during the years of Nazi Germany. And she was hiding God's people so that they would not be caught and killed, and really hiding the Jewish people so that they would not be killed in concentration camps. Well, one day Corrie Ten Boom and the people were discovered, and they were sent to cell block number 28 in a concentration camp. When they got there, and you know a lot about history if you know about Nazi Germany and the concentration camp for the Jews, but these people were mistreated. Millions of people were killed. You know, they had their clothes taken off. They barely ate anything. They were just persecuted. And Corrie and her sister and many Jews and others were put in cell number 28. And in cell 28, it was infested with fleas. And this was at a point where Corrie, a believer in the Lord who was helping these Jewish people, she just hit the end of her rope. And she said to her sister, I don't think I can go on. We've got fleas now. Like, we've lost everything else. Now we have fleas to deal with. You know what her sister said to her? She said, "Corrie, stay the faith, keep the faith. And God tells us in his word to be thankful in all circumstances." And Corrie was like, "Really? Like, really you're going to bring the word up in this moment?" but she said, "No. So we need to be thankful that we have another day of life. We need to be thankful that we're together. We need to be thankful that we have each other and we have these other people who are encouraging us. We need to be thankful for the little bit of food that we have. Most importantly, we need to be thankful for the opportunity we have to share the gospel to these people and to the guards. We need to be thankful even for the fleas, because there's a reason the fleas are here and we're here." And so you know what Corrie and her sister did? They thanked the Lord for the fleas. A couple weeks go by. They were having underground worship services in cell block 28 on Sunday mornings. They would gather together and they led these people to Christ, these Jewish people to Christ, and they were worshiping the Lord on Sunday mornings. And the guards never came in. If the guards had come in, the Nazi guards came in while they were worshiping the Lord, they would have been killed on the spot. But here is the reason why they found out later the Nazi guards did not go in to cell block 28. It's because it was infested with fleas. They didn't want to go in because they didn't want to get infested with fleas. And God's people, meanwhile, were worshiping the Lord in cell block 28. Why do I share that example? It's an incredible example of faith. It's an incredible example of suffering with God's people together and of not being afraid of the enemy and not being afraid of what man can do to you. Why? Because you're more afraid of the Lord because you fear him. Corrie ten Boom was a great example of suffering for the Lord's sake, just as Moses was. So going back to Hebrews 11, we see the faith of parents. We see the faith of a son. Now we see at the end here, the faith of a people. And as you look here at verse 29, it's by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of the first guy who walked through the Red Sea when it was parted. That guy was brave. I mean, really, you think about it. And it reminds me in a minor way, when you go to a cold pool or a lake, and you're the first to jump in, you're the brave one to jump in, you sometimes put your foot in the water and then you jump in. Think about that first guy who went on the dry ground in the Red Sea. I mean, he must have been like, I think we're gonna do this, and then he just takes one foot after the other and everybody else follows him. It took a lot of faith, it took a lot of guts. But what we see here is that the people of God, they had this incredible faith where they walked through these walls of water that could easily come crashing down on them and kill them. But they didn't care because they trusted the Lord. They could have easily surrendered and went back to the Egyptians and said, bring us home, bring us back to Egypt, and at least we'll be fed there. But no, they weren't cowards. They were brave because they believed in the Lord. And they said, we're going to journey through these walls of water and we're going to trust that God won't crash them down. Now, I'm sure they were motivated by Moses and his faith. But at the end of the day, it took each and every one of them to have faith to do that. This is why I love that it's mentioned in Hebrews 11, because he's talking about the people of God and their faith. In the same way, the Egyptians didn't have faith, and what happened to them when they tried to cross the Red Sea? The waters came crashing down over them. It's just an amazing, remarkable story of faith all around, from the parents of Moses, to the people of God. As I close here, I want you to see something profound. And I did this for Carol Colebush today. I think she'll appreciate this. Jesus is all over this story. He's all over this passage. The first thing I want you to think about is I want you to think about Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary. What happened to them when Jesus was born? You had this Herod. And what did Herod do? He said, I want all baby boys under 2 dead in Bethlehem. What did Joseph and Mary do? They didn't worry about Herod's edict, but instead they hid baby Jesus and they ran away. Amazing story of faith. Remember when Jesus, when he grew up and he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Satan offered him riches, temporary blessings. If you just follow me, and what did Jesus do? He said, no. I'm not following you, Satan. I don't care if you're gonna provide me the worldly treasures. Why? Because I'm focused more on eternal. And eternity. And Jesus turned Satan away and he continued in the will of God, just like Moses did, right? Remember when Jesus became our Passover lamb in 1 Corinthians 5:7? He's the Passover lamb who took on the wrath of God so that we wouldn't have to. And finally, remember the Red Sea, as I talked about. The water symbolized judgment. What does that symbolize with Christ? It symbolized his return. And just as the Israelites had faith in the Lord and they were spared, so we as believers in Christ will be spared from the judgment of God when he returns. But what will happen to the people that do not believe in Jesus? Just like the Egyptians, where the waters will come crashing down and bring judgment, so it will happen to non-believers who do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was David McWilliams in his commentary who said, these realities of Hebrews 11 and the story of Moses point to Christ, they lead to Christ, they revolve around Christ, just like planets revolve around the sun. You see, There's a reason why we bring in Christ, because history is his story. And we see Christ all over the Bible, all over the Bible. And we see it right here in Hebrews 11, and we see it in Exodus 1 and 2. My friends, trust in this Jesus Christ. And as the Hebrews people in the New Testament, they were tempted to veer off from Christ, the author's taking them back to Moses and his people, and he's saying, remember that they had a focus on a future Messiah, and you too, stay the course on Jesus Christ, because you'll never, ever be disappointed in him.